ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. Today is January 30th, 2020. 4 days ago, we celebrated the Republic Day of India, January 26th. The Republic Day of India 19 years ago in the state of Gujarat was very difficult, was very different, was an event not to be repeated ever in any land, in any region. 8:45 a.m. on 26 January 2001, in New Delhi, the nation's capital, an impressive parade was held in the morning. The president took the salute, and around the same time, even as flag hoisting and parades were happening all over India, in the state of Gujarat, many children who were marching to their schools at that hour suddenly felt the earth under their feet shaking fearsomely. Buildings crumbled, and in a quick few seconds, thousands were trapped under the debris. The school children, instead of going to the parade, were sucked into the ground. In a few minutes, hundreds lost their lives. Villages were wiped out. Death did not make any distinction, young, old, rich, poor. The terrible earthquake in Gujarat killed 20,000 people. It injured 1,67,000 and destroyed nearly 3,40,000 buildings. At the time of the earthquake, there was a spout of steam with water, lime and sand which shot up from a geyser in the ground. And this water went up to a height of about 100 feet into the air. And it was accompanied by loud noise, frightening. 10 days after this event, all the liquid matter that had emerged from beneath the earth's crust was spread over 50 feet and it had solidified. It was like something like the lava of a volcano, and the whole area was cordoned off with barbed wire. It was a prohibited area. So many four-storied buildings just went inside. They were uprooted from their foundations and they just collapsed. One nine-storied building had virtually only three stories above the ground. Six stories had gone underground. And when that happened, there was upwelling of the groundwater, and all the 300 people in those six-storied had a watery grave. Nobody could come out, nobody could find any escape. 300 children in the age group of 5 to 10 instantly died when that wall in the school collapsed. Every one of the houses in that region near Bhuj in Gujarat was damaged in some way or the other. Collapse of a wall, roof flying off, huge cracks, buildings, vulnerable. Cinema halls, off hostels, residential buildings, everything was razed to the ground. And everything was just a matter of 5 seconds, just 5 seconds. And looks like, you know, 500 years of civilization just was wiped out. Initially, the government was undertaking relief operations, and slowly the army and the police joined. Bhagwan was in Bangalore then. The super speciality hospital was inaugurated on January 19, 2001, and after that Bhagwan was in the Vrindavan Ashram in Bangalore. And when the news came, Bhagwan started inquiring. It's not that he had to be told, but we know how Bhagwan sees how people respond to these occasions, which are huge opportunities for us to open our hearts. And Swami came to Prashanthi Nilayam and started organizing relief material in a very silent manner. On February 7, 2001, the secretary, the caretaker of the ashram, Mr. Chiranjeev Rao, calls, guess who? Mr. Raman Rao. Swami's point man for any major service initiative. And that is how we continue the story of Mr. Raman Rao in our series Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam. Today I am going to share with you what Raman Rao sir has shared about that opportunity that Bhagwan gave him to go to Gujarat and share Bhagwan's love, distribute material. Swami directed Mr. Raman Rao to organize 50 sevadals, which he did from Hyderabad, 20 youngsters and 20 middle-aged. And Swami sent a convoy from Puttaparthi carrying relief material worth 1 crore. And this convoy was to go to Rajkot in Gujarat. And the relief activities were to be carried out for 10 days. And Swami entrusted this major work to Mr. Raman Rao to execute on the ground, even though Swami sent Mr. Chiranjeev Rao, Mr. Sipusti and few others from Puttaparthi also to oversee the operations. But Mr. Raman Rao was there from Hyderabad with his team of experienced 50 sevadals, young and old, who was supposed to execute this for Bhagwan. In fact, the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh then, Mr. Chandrababu Naidu, flagged off this fleet of relief material from Hyderabad. And so there were relief camps which were established at Rajkot and Pipalin in Morji in Bori. And Mr. Ramesh Savant, who was then the State President of Maharashtra Satya Sai Organizations, along with Mr. Mukesh Patel, an active sevadal, went there. And every member of the 4,200 families living in those identified villages which were the most damaged, the Satya Sai organization asked the government to identify 22 villages which were extensively damaged. So in these villages, more than 4,000 families who were living were supplied with essential food materials, materials which would take care of them for the next 2 months. And Swami had personally directed what should be the material that should be packed for every family. 25 kgs of rice, 10 kgs of wheat flour, 5 kgs of dal, 5 kgs of sugar, 2 liters of sunflower oil, 1 bag which contained also stuff, saris, dhotis, dresses and all the essential toiletries. Each bag weighed about 50 kgs besides the clothes. So there were all these minimum items that were needed for someone to get started in their life. It's like, you know, you're suddenly in an island, washed off in the flood, and now you have to start your life again. Whatever you need, matchstick, basic things to cover yourself, to warm yourself, and to start living again. Swami packed everything. And all these bags were made during the nights in these camps. From 7 a.m. in the morning, distribution of these bags in the villages started, and it should go on till 8, 9, 10 o'clock. There was no electricity. With the help of torch lights and with the help of rudimentary facilities, the relief workers would start early in the morning and would carry their water bottles and go to every family, every person, and personally hand over all these gifts. Swami's instructions were very clear. Treat them with respect. They were all very affluent people. No matter who they are, do not throw these items to them. Go to them, speak to them, and offer them these items with gratitude in your heart. Even though the Sevadals went on doing their work with utmost dedication and in that spirit of selfless service, there were problems. Anything good that you start always has its own share of challenges to test our resilience, to test our faith. So in a village called Gujarada, there were 550 families who were staying in 470 houses in that village, and most of them belonged to the Islamic faith. All the houses were small, and all of them were damaged some way or the other. 60 houses were not suitable for living at all, and the other inmates accommodated these families. And so in many houses there were 2-3 families living together. Roads to these houses were highly damaged. When these Sevadals reached that village, it was already 4 p.m. and they had 2 truckloads of relief material and 30 volunteers, all very young people. So they carried these bags on their backs, 50 kg bags. But the village headman there did not want to receive the support. Apparently there was some dispute between the village and the government machinery there, and the village headman refused to accept any help. And it was at this time that Mr. Raman Rao, along with Mr. Vaishnavas, the youth leader then, went to this village head and explained to them about what they are doing and why they are doing and how they have nothing to do with the government and how all they want is to serve and nothing else, and how the Satya Sai organization is a seva organization. It's a voluntary organization. There is no politics, no economics in this. And that is when the headman allowed them to serve. Every time we get an opportunity to serve, we have to be grateful. And the material distribution started from 5 a.m. in the evening. There was hardly any light. All the pathways to the houses were all rugged. Personally, every member had to carry these 50 kg bags on their backs. The tough and strong youth members, without a murmur, carried these bundles and delivered personally to the members in these houses, all the time struggling to find the way because it was all dark. With the help of some patches of inadequate light from candles and lanterns, somehow they managed and served. It was 9 p.m. by the time they completed giving these bags to 120 houses. And the village headman was noticing all this, the enthusiasm, the spirit of sacrifice, the tenacity to go and reach out to everyone. And something in him changed, and the village headman now came and said, "I really appreciate your zeal to serve us. My people will help you. This path is very difficult. There is not much light, but we will all join." And now 20 able-bodied men from that village, they came, joined hands with the Sai youth, and now distribution acquired a new energy, a new vigor, And by 11 p.m. in the night, they were able to distribute those bags to every family in that village. And in the end, the village head came to the group of Sevadals and Mr. Raman Rao and said, "We do not know Sai Baba, but we could see his compassion through your actions. Please convey our gratitude to Baba." It is one thing to have a vision of the Lord through our sadhana, through our prayers. But I many times feel, if through our actions, if people can envision God, if people can feel God, if people can be touched by the mercy of God through us, that would be our tribute to Swami. That would be a greater thing to achieve than achieving the vision of the Lord. And that is what happened that day with this team of Sevadals led by Mr. Raman Rao. In fact, after the service was done, Bhagwan materialized a gold chain and presented it to Sri Ramesh Savant, who was the guide throughout the relief operations, the chief, the state president of the Satyasai organization Maharashtra then. And Swami specially called all the members of this Hyderabad Sevadal group along with Raman Rao and personally presented them wristwatches, a token of his love, but just to tell them how much he appreciated the spirit with which they reached out to the downtrodden, reached out to those who were depressed, and reached out to them who were languishing there, waiting for someone to take care of them. And when there were challenges, how they kept the spirit of service in front of them and marched ahead doing his work. That is how the team with Raman Rao sir always performed these opportunities of service. And no wonder Bhagwan always thought of Mr. Raman Rao when it came to executing any of these mammoth service projects. I had the chance to talk to Mr. Sagar, the son of Mr. Raman Rao. In the previous session also, I played for you some clips of Mr. Sagar's reminiscences of his father. When you listen from him, you get a perspective that you would not get from anyone else. There are a lot of people who work with him as fellow Sevadal members, as fellow devotees, but the angles to the story that Mr. Sagar shares, the way he looked at it, is something that throws greater light into the personality of Mr. Raman Rao. So here is another clip from Mr. Sagar.
Swami unfolded his own grace in his own way, and anyone tells my father coincidentally, he says, it's not coincidence. Don't talk, don't have the word as coincidence when Swami is concerned. It's his will. That's his faith. He never allowed anyone to say coincidentally that happened. There's no coincidence. He is very, very clear on that fact. When you are in the Sai service, when you are in Sai fold, when you are in Swami's presence, there's nothing like coincidence. It's his will that prevails. He is a very staunch believer in that fact. And it happened, and for him, as he moved forward, people started, then the same village head and comes says, we don't know whom you are representing. Bless, please go and thank Sai Baba, that we are all very thankful to him for, showing so much of a grace without knowing who we are. For them, Swami may be new. For Swami, they are not new. So therefore, it comes very naturally for both of them to accept and, take it forward. Such instances are plenty. The more you think on those lines, the more are the, incidents you will find. And all these things happen because you loved the cause for which you are working. You loved the God for whom you are working. And therefore, it doesn't come as a surprise to you, to anyone, that my father related himself so beautifully into all those things. And I shouldn't be saying father so many times, because he is part of the Sai family and he is the big brother of the Sai family group. So from that angle, he is a big brother for me too. If you are looking at it from, Sai's family point of view. And therefore, taking Swami's word as a final comes so strong. He doesn't believe anything else differently. Parents were surprised that he has moved so much into spirituality. Then my grandfather started wondering, what's happening to you? Then one fine day he said, come, we'll go and see. And he has taken his mother and father to Swami, and Swami was all, as usual, he is so gracious to, you know, see them, talk to them, and make sure that they are all made comfortable. After that, same my grandfather settled in Puttaparthi.
Wow.
And he, during Swami's 50th birthday, he was the site engineer for the South Prashanti, those buildings, construction of those buildings.
Wow.
And Sai Stupam, that 50th birthday commemorating Stupam, Sarma Mata Samata Stupam. Hmm. All those were constructed under my grandfather's supervision. He was also involved in Anandpur college construction and all those things. See, I mean, you only probably are an instrument to bring someone to Swami's feet, and after that, it's Swami's grace and their good fortune. He believed in that. So he, when he moved into his office and he was trying to doing these things, people, probably some people accompanied him out of, authoritative requirements or, but there are some who fallen out of it. Some continued their journey with Swami in their own way. So both happened. He is not there to influence their thought process. For him, bringing someone to Swami, he considered that itself is a great service. And that is how he looks at it. And serving Swami through serving the people is his motto. So one instance comes to my mind when I am talking about it. Once we were all sitting in the W1B27 veranda. Yes. And my father also was sitting there, and he was telling that day was incident something. A gentleman came with Sevadal scarf and all that. He said, I want to see Raman Rao. So he said, yeah, tell me what it is. No, I came from so-and-so district, and so the district president told me to contact you. I said, for what? He says, no, he wanted me to request you to give me a duty in Mandiram, Swami's Mandiram. So my father is very blunt and blatant in such things. He, for him, service, irrespective where. He said, you have come as a Sevadal member. So if you have come as a Sevadal member, the people who require your services are the devotees, not Swami. Swami can look after himself. That's how Swami can look after himself. So what, as Sevadal members, we are required to be of service to them. So the best places for such service is canteen or hospital. Why don't you go and serve there? If you go to Mandir, you only come in the way of devotees having good darshan of Swami, he says. So he says, either if you want to have darshan of Swami, remove the scarf, put it in your pocket, go and sit with other devotees, have darshan. Don't try to use these as a... that is how he is. When you are wearing that scarf, he never believe in the seva service. More proud to wear a scarf.
So that is how he was so particular about... When you have service as your goal, then let that be the only goal. And that is how he inspired so many people to dedicate their lives to Sai service. In fact, I remember on so many occasions taking inspiration from him, you had all these youth from Hyderabad who would come to Bhagwan, and they were... So many opportunities when Bhagwan would interact with these youth, and they would have the opportunity also to perform in Bhagwan's presence, offer a report of the activity that they have done, and also Swami would give them the chance to sing, and they would sing some songs which conveyed this message of service to man is service to God, and it would be songs in Telugu. And I remember on so many occasions, Swami would love these songs. Let me play for you one of those songs which sort of conveys this message of how for Swami service was so important and how this is something that was so dear to him.
Mm-hmm.
seva, oh, Madhava seva, oh, Madhava seva, oh, Madhava seva, oh, Madhava seva, Madhava seva, ye hai mantra hamara, ye hai mantra hamara, sabse sundar puja isme sai prem ki dhara, Madhava seva, oh, Madhava seva, oh. प्रेम करना बाबा को प्यारा है सबसे प्रेम करना ईश्वर को प्यारा है विश्वास भाव से सेवा करना यही हमारा काम मानव सेवा हो माधव सेवा हो
Seva, Madhava Seva, Ye Hai Mantra Hamara. That was truly the mantra of all the Sevadals. And if you see, Mr. Raman Rao's life is constantly concerned about the Sevadals, constantly concerned about Swami's devotees, constantly concerned about what can we do more so that the organization grows. I remember there was this world conference of Satyasai organizations held in Chennai in the year 1967, and on that occasion the age limit of the Sevadal members was restricted to 18 to 40. And in fact, a few years later, during the All India Satyasai organizations convention in Rajahmundry, this age limit was revised again. And now instead of 40, it was 35. So the Sevadal members had to be between the age group of 18 to 35. Now, when Raman Rao sir saw this resolution, he was not happy because he thought if a Sevadal member joins at the age of 30, then, you know, he would have to leave the organization being a Sevadal in 5 years, and so all the training that he has received in 5 years would not be of help, because as per the resolution he cannot serve anymore. So this would always worry him, and he tried in his own ways to see if this resolution can be reconsidered, but nothing changed, and that was something that kept bothering Mr. Raman Rao. Interestingly, in 1982, almost 8 years after this resolution, Bhagwan came to Hyderabad on the 3rd of April. And Swami was to leave for Delhi on the 6th. We talked about this trip of Bhagwan to the north, when Swami asked Mr. Raman Rao also to accompany him. So on that occasion, before Bhagwan left for this trip, Swami was very gracious enough to grant Padmaskaram to all the Sevadal members in Hyderabad who have been serving him, who were there. And on the evening of 5th, Swami consented to bless all the Sevadals. So all of them assembled at Shivam, Bhagwan's abode in Hyderabad. And Mr. Raman Rao told everyone, whoever is only less than 35 years of age may sit with their scarf and badge on to receive blessings from Bhagwan, because whoever is more than 35 should remove their scarf, badges, and just hold them in their palms, because according to the resolution passed, they are not fit to be part of the Sathya Sai Sevadal. Legally, they cannot be part of the Sai Sevadal organization. And so when Bhagwan came, Swami saw this. And Swami said, "What is this?" And Mr. Raman Rao said, "Swami, the people who are below 35 years are sitting for your Padmaskaram for blessings, and all the others, they are holding the scarves in their hand because they are not supposed to be having, Swami. They are more than 35 years of age, Swami." And Swami immediately said, "First, all of you put on your scarves and badges. All that rule does not apply to you. You participate in all the activities as Sevadal members. Nobody has the authority to object to your participation. All of you, wear your badges and join the service activities." And it was a great moment of jubilation for all the Sevadal members then. Swami giving that opportunity to anyone to serve, age does not come in the way. What is only needed is that attitude, that spirit. So a 60-year-old Sevadal member started distributing vibhuti packets. Another 60-year-old was now serving laddus as Bhagwan was giving Padmaskaram to all the Sevadal members. When the first international Sevadal meet was held on 19 November 1984 in Purnachandra Auditorium, at that time Swami said, "Anyone can participate in service programs. Each one can do their bit according to their capacity. Anyone who is physically fit can join the Sevadal movement. There are no restrictions. Age does not come in the way of anyone who wants to serve." And when Swami said this, there was thunderous applause in the Purnachandra Auditorium on that historic day of November 19, 1984, a historic day for all Sevadals serving the organization. If you are able to serve, if you are able to have the scarf and badge, and if you have that privilege to serve, it's because on that day Swami blessed anyone to be part of the Sevadal movement. It is not as if you think you can become a Sevadal, you will become a Sevadal. You will become a Sevadal only if it is there in your fortune to be part of this movement that you can join this yatnam. This is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice which purifies you. It's a sacrifice which sublimates you. It's a sacrifice which elevates you. And that is the blessing that Swami gave to all the Sevadals. And Mr. Raman Rao, one should have seen that day, the way he was thrilled and the way he was just exhilarated when Bhagwan made that declaration. He always will see, it was Swami's grace that he relaxed the age restriction. Otherwise, how could so many of us have had the chance to serve? How could 700 people serving in the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram every single day, how could so many people coming from all parts of India and serving in the ashram and in various corners of this country got this opportunity to serve, it was because of that moment, that day, that prayer of Mr. Raman Rao and those Sevadals on that day in 1982. So we never know, as they say, the cascading effect of one single act of pure thought, one single good deed can wipe off, as they say, the hatred of millions. One single good deed can result in positive ramifications in the lives of thousands. And that is the power of one Sevadal, that is the power of one person who thinks nothing about life but giving meaning to life by adding value to others' lives. And that is what you see in the life of Raman Rao. Let me play for you another clip of Mr. Sagar, because he goes on to share about what he had noticed in his father, and also what was his mental state during the final years, and how Mr. Raman Rao could be what he was. What is it that also supported him in the practical way at the level of his family to enable him to do this service activities and to dedicate himself in that manner for so many years until the ripe age of 90. So here is Mr. Sagar for you.
He never believed in the seva service. He's more proud to wear a scarf than being a state president of an activity, and therefore till the end, almost till the end, he was a, you know, coordinator, seva coordinator. And he loved dealing, talking about Swami and services that we need to render, how we need to conduct as Sevadal members, how each one of us are viewed by the outsider as a representative of Swami. The number of times, again and again, he keeps telling them, saying, you misbehave, it reflects on Swami, you are not a person, you are an institute, so we should conduct ourselves. This sort of a thinking, it's a very, very valid thinking. That image part of it is very, not many will understand. He believes that every devotee is a reflection of Swami for him, for all Seva members. And this is the message he gives very strongly to people. And therefore, it doesn't come as a surprise when in the afternoons when he sleeps, and when we see him sleeping and someone comes and says, can I see Mr. Raman Rao? We'll say he's sleeping. They'll say we'll come back after half an hour. And later when he wakes up, and a couple of times we told him so and so had come, why did you not wake me up? They have come all the way. Is my sleep important? So now, subsequently, in spite of knowing that he is in deep sleep and things like that, we still wake him up. Oh. He would get up. He would say, yes sir, what can you do? And you know, what little, people would come from different samitis, you know, they would come, that's the time, they all think that it's the time for him, for them to come and meet him. So he doesn't put himself in a high pedestal when it comes to meeting people. He wants to meet people, he wants to understand, convey messages of what Swami wants to be conveyed to the seva activities. So I think from that angle, I would take that as he's a blessed soul from, you know, that point of view, in terms of being associated with Swami for so long. In a lifespan of 90 years with 50 years of association with Swami, there are plenty of episodes that we can keep on talking about. Yes. And every day's experience becomes an experience by itself.
In fact, there are so many thoughts as you were sharing, because it is so difficult to encapsulate a life which was 50 years of dedication to Bhagwan. As you said, it is a golden jubilee year, and he attained the golden high.
Yes.
Of his life in this year, and you try to say that in 50 minutes.
I don't know, because time is not the factor. But at the same time, if I may add one more sentence, I'll be failing in my responsibility in not mentioning the role played by my mother in the whole aspect.
Because that's another thing I wanted to ask.
Yeah, because see, also, and then we are two brothers and a sister. My sister got married and she left for Bombay, and we both brothers were in Vrindavan for nearly around 8 years, 9 years. We stayed there. So it's my mother and father together there. And father going on is so many of these. It's unless it's my mother who had accepted the life, way of life and, you know, grace of Swami, he wouldn't have performed his heart's content as he has done so far. Yes. I think, you know, that way the credit should also be bestowed on her.
Yes.
She had departed in 1999, so after that there's no holds barred. In a sense, physically he moved into Prashantinilayam and then, you know, he let himself go into so many things. So that's a different part. But then I think one thing we should all probably accept this is, in a Sai service, in a service of this nature, the wholeheartedness of every member of the family becomes an important factor. Yes. Then only the understanding comes, then only without any inhibitions, without any holds barred and without any limitations, that we could dedicate ourselves to a noble cause.
Yes.
Of, you know, dedicating our families and, you know, it's our good fortune that we lived and we stayed and we could see and be there in Swami's presence. And therefore, to enjoy and at the same time give it back, pay it back in our own way. Swami did not want anything from us and as individuals. So all that we have to do is to rededicate ourselves to those causes wherever possible and work towards. In that, as family members, as collectively, individually, all of us should move towards and enjoy the pleasure of service together. In that, I think my mother played a very important role.
There would definitely been so many sacrifices that she would have made, and silently she would have just perhaps, you know, borne with all that, just keeping her faith.
Yeah, basically she had her own devotion to Swami and Swami had his own grace on her. So therefore, both of them have enjoyed Swami's grace to that extent. So all those also added to the, you know, the pleasure of my father dedicating himself wholeheartedly and, you know, without any hold back.
Yes. And as you mentioned, for him, this loving Swami, that was what was driving him.
Yes.
And I think when you love something, then you don't need any reward.
Absolutely.
I think that is the very, very beautiful perspective, because many times many people say we love Swami, but do we really love Swami?
Yes.
I think what is really loving Swami, you know, perhaps we like Swami, you know, you like someone, you like Swami also, but there is a difference between loving Swami and liking Swami. When you love someone, then you want to be with him. You are constantly thinking about what I can do for him. You are not thinking about, you know, what I can get from him.
Yes.
He was all the time thinking, what can I do for him?
See, also, his love comes so strongly to him, which Swami probably could feel directly, so much so that when Ishwaramma passed away on that particular day, when he was around, first name came to his mind was Ramanrao, go bring flowers.
Yes.
And take the body to Prashantinilayam and do this activities and things like that. Someone, I would say, Swami as a human individual being, if he has given the responsibility of taking care of his mother's to someone, that itself speaks enough on Swami's, you know, opinion about him.
Yeah.
I mean, opinion is a small word, but then
the kind of relationships
with Swami as, you know, bestowed on him.
Yes.
And the trust that he had bestowed upon him. I think those are the few things which come very, very strongly in his life. And those are the highlights. And he had enjoyed talking about them for hours. And when anyone comes and sits together, he was never interested in idle gossip. He never interested in anyone doing any petty talk. It's never there. When we go to Prashantinilayam, either we speak to each other on whatever he tells about Swami and things like that, or each one takes a book and, you know, sit in the same room and read. We don't really talk much on that. As simple. I mean, that shows that his mind, you know, manasa vacha karmana.
Yeah.
He was dedicated soul, you know, in that factor. And I think that's how we feel he's lived his life. He has told me, I think, and this is one aspect which I should say, that somewhere in 83, even he was 83, 84, when I was in Prashantinilayam with him, and he was sleeping in that same room and on that, and I was sleeping next to him down. And as you know, Prashant Nilayam winds up the day by 9 o'clock, 9:30, and it's too early for us city dwellers to, probably that was our dinner time, I would say. Mm-hmm. So it's not so easy for us to catch up or sleep at 9 o'clock. So I was lying down, just looking at around, and he was sleeping. Suddenly he got up at 10 o'clock or something. He said, "Are you sleeping?" I said, "No, not yet." "Okay, I just want to tell you something. I am now 84 and I have overstayed my own existence in my personal opinion." I said, "No, why are you saying?" No, listen to me. There's no emotion in this. Accept the facts. So just listen to me." He says, "So therefore, every day that I open my eyes, I think Swami gave me one more day. And that day, I would like to dedicate as much as possible to for his cause, for his, in his service. So be assured that I have lived and I am living a contented life without any more desires. I have no desires, no issues. I am very happy. I am very contented. So a day will come when I may not open my eyes. So I don't want you to feel bad, feel sad, or lament on that, because I want you to know that I lived a contented life." If someone could make a statement of that nature, saying that he has lived his life in his own, whatever way he wanted, I think that's a culmination of anyone's life's desire. And that's the best thing that happened. And he never, therefore, this end is only a small thing that ultimately happened. He was there, and every day, therefore, for him, reading Sanatana Sahaji articles is the best thing that could happen toward the fag end of his career. Every day articles come, every day he would read those articles, correct them and put them. Living in Swami is how he had spent his time. So his mind was on it, his thoughts were on it, on Swami, and his own being was in Swami from that point of view. This is how we all go to regularly to Puttaparthi, to be with him. To be with him is, we go there to, imbibe that much of whatever reflections that he had from him. This is how I look at it, and each one of us, family members, we all feel that way. We go there to say his birthday and this and that, all those we keep telling them. He would scoff at it and say, "What birthday? There's no birthday. My birthday is November 23rd, he would say. So for him, if you consider that as a feature, so you can understand what his mindset is all about. So for him, October 1st is not his true birthday from that point of view. For him, November 23rd is his birthday.
Amazing. Back to one devotee who asked him, "Sir, till when should we serve?" Because, he was a young Sevadal.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, how long should we be serving? He said, "Continue to serve till the time you don't realize that you are serving." Until the time it becomes your very breath, you don't know that you are serving. Till that time you have to continue to serve.
Yeah, that belief is very strong. Again, sorry, I have to, yeah, it comes another thought with, when that stupa is being constructed,
yes.
So there was all scaffoldings done, and he was there on top. So I'm carrying this sand baskets up. Swami, it's right opposite, yes. Swami's window those days. The,
yes,
new building was not there. So that evening Swami called and said, "What's your age? And what are you doing at that stage, at that height?" He was must be around 60 at that time probably, or 55 or 50 or something. He said, "What are you doing at that?" Yes, Swami is there. He's happy. And that comes, commitments and such things happen only when you love, and the commitments, yes, come automatically only when you love your cause,
yes,
for which you are living.
Yes.
And talking about his age, last year I think when we were coming down W1B27, I saw this motorized golf cart, yes, taking people. So I told, yes, him, "Why do you want to walk all round? Why don't you take this?"
Mm.
He says, "That's for old people, not for us." Swami provided that for the old people. And at 89, if he says, "That's for old people," so I wonder who are the old people he's talking about.
He told you that.
So that is him. So he has his own sense of humor. He has his own, the dedication doesn't change, you know, and it's meant for someone more important. So he considers that's meant for Swami's devotees and all old people. No, I can walk. And he, even till the last, probably till he was there, he was walking himself.
Yeah, of course. He was always young in his heart when it came to service.
Therefore, he could connect with a couple of generations up and down. You know, the seniors of the Sai Samsthan were always looked at him with more, understanding. Yes. And the next generation groups were all associated, whose were his associates. He was very happy to be connected with them. And the younger generations, those people look at him. And then he is able to give the guidance saying this can be done, that can be done. People have accepted him from that. All that comes by everyone looking at a common cause.
Yes.
Therefore looking for a guidance, therefore looking for a mentorship and a true understanding of Sai service. I think he is the right man for such things.
So that was some snippets about Mr. Raman Rao's life that you would not know from anyone else. I mean, imagine him saying at the age of 89 that, you know, I don't want to use the golf cart, it is for the old people. Imagine him telling his son that I'm 84 now and you should know that I have lived a very satisfied, contented life. How many of us at that age will be able to do that? How many who are now in that age can look back at their life and say, I have had everything. I'm very happy. I'm very contented. I'm satisfied. I have done everything that I wanted to do to add meaning to my life. I think that is the mark of someone who has always operated from his heart. Most of the time, we are unable to follow our heart because of the cobwebs in our mind. And here was someone who just was so powered by the power of his heart that his grace flowed on him in a torrential downpour, and that translated as a stream of loving, selfless service till the very end. Even after he was 85, as Mr. Sagar said, he stayed on in Prashantinilayam and he continued to work for Sanatana Sarathi. He used to write articles, edit articles, in fact, brought many sweeping changes in this magazine. It was because he was young in heart. It was because he never thought that now it's time to rest. It is because every day he operated from the heart, and in the heart was nothing but Swami and his service. That is the life of Mr. Raman Rao. Swami used to call him very lovingly Ramana. He achieved what one probably can achieve just by focusing on service. All bhakti, all jnana, as Professor Anil Kumar said, even though he was so focused on service towards the last phase of his life, he was now so much into bhakti, so much into enjoying the leelas of the Lord. He wrote his book, which was full of miracles that he has experienced of Bhagwan. You take any path, as Swami says, if you follow that path with complete steadfastness, be it karma, be it bhakti, be it jnana, everything else automatically flows. If you take the path of karma and be a true karma yogi, bhakti and jnana will automatically flow into you. If you take the path of bhakti and truly love the Lord, karma and jnana will automatically seep into you. That is what is the life of Mr. Raman Rao. In fact, this is the life of so many who have had the chance to be in Prashantalayam and connect to Prashantalayam and serve Bhagwan. There are many like Mr. Raman Rao, Mr. Ramu Brahmam, Mrs. Ratan Lal who had the opportunity to physically serve Bhagwan. And there are so many who, wherever they are, have led such lives. And it is for us to look at their lives and see how a bit of that spark can glow in our hearts too. So that when it is time for us to call quits, can we look at our lives, can we look at Swami and say, Swami, I have lived my life the way you wanted me to. I know you are proud of me. I have nothing else to achieve. I have nothing else to attain except a merger into you. That is the kind of life that all of us should be striving towards. And when we listen to stories of such souls, it helps us, it inspires us, and it guides us. So we'll continue this series, Beacons of Prashantalayam, in the coming episodes. And probably in one or two episodes, we'll conclude the story of Mr. Raman Rao. But this series will go on, and we will listen to such exalted tales of many beautiful souls in the coming episodes of Beacons of Prashantalayam in this program, Outside Inside, Deep Inside. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. With gratitude and love, we offer this opportunity to share His love at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. Thank you so much. Sanam.